Hello, welcome to the Mythology Marksmanship Podcast. I'm Morgan King, and I'm here with BJ DeGroot of Strike Without Warning. How are you doing?
Yeah, good, bro. How's things with you?
Pretty good. Just been hanging out and trying to get through the weekend. I've kind of been sick all last week, which sucked, but now I'm up and moving around, which is a nice change.
Yeah, well, I was sick as well. I've been in bed the last 4 days. So, yeah, I was trying to get better.
Dude,
Four shots.
So. I literally was in bed from Monday till Friday, end of Friday.
Well, there you go. It was pretty much exactly the same, really.
It's awful. I don't wish that on anybody. So you moved over here from Australia.
Yep.
Pretty much, like, I mean, you go back, what, every 3 months, but you're here.
Yeah, that's pretty much how it'll be. So, what, it was start of December. I just sold all my stuff, bought a ticket, and jumped on the plane and came over. Just, yeah.
And you've been going.
Flies and jumps.
Yeah, and you've been kind of hitting the ground. I mean, running. You've been going to pretty much every local match up there. In Utah, am I right?
Yeah, well, I've been to every regional match since I've been here, which has been awesome. We had the one Hurricane, we had the one in Price, and then we had the, what was it, Blue Creek? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, Blue Creek.
Yeah,
up in Tremont.
Yeah, yeah, and it was awesome because all three of the matches, I mean, they're obviously in different parts of the state, but like, they're all just, like, significantly different with, like, the terrain and how the matches were. So it was, like, going to, like, different parts of the country and experiencing different things, even though, like, they're only a couple of hours away, really.
Yes. Which, so now, I mean, obviously, that begs a question, which you've already kind of touched on your social media. You talked about differences between here and there, which I think, you know, a lot of listeners are not from the States and they're not from the Western United States. And so they might not understand what differences there is between their place and here. And if there is a difference and how significant it is, maybe the matches are harder, tougher. But you kind of touched on those topics on your social media. But what was your... You went to the first match. You went to Paul's match, which Paul Dallin puts on a tough match, right?
I mean, yeah, that was easily the hardest match I've ever shot.
Yeah,
without it.
I mean, and he does that, and everybody should know that going into it. Like, they're definitely tough. I do good at them, but they're not easy.
Yeah, well, it was hard in good ways. It wasn't hard, like stupidly small targets really far away with like crazy wind, like, you know, because it was poorly planned. Like, it was well thought out. It was tricky. It was designed to make you think, you know. Not every stage was designed that it was cleanable, but everything was, it was doable. But yeah, it was just very tricky, and the terrain and just how everything was laid out. Like, it was, yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed that. It was easily my most favorite match I've ever shot, but it was, you know, again, like, significantly harder than anything else I've shot as well.
So I'm, like, a huge fan of Paul's matches, even though, like, they can be over the top in certain areas. And sometimes I do feel like if all the stressors, my only complaint with any of Paul's matches is sometimes he leans heavily on the time stressor of all the stressors. Instead of it being a well-rounded stress, sometimes it'll be a little lopsided in that direction. And for me, that's great. I mean, it kind of plays into my hand, but for other people that can be kind of frustrating. But I think most people get it. Like, when they go there, they know that they're kind of, it's a running gun style match. If he, and maybe it needs to be sometimes advertised as a running gun match because of that. Because that's what I think of a running gun match, is the time is the stressor. Where a field match, I feel like it's a little distance and target more, you know.
Yeah, I agree with you, man.
Not the position. And then there's positional matches, you know. Anyways, I digress. But so have you ever seen, had you ever been to a match like that at all?
No, because in Australia, you only shoot on golf courses, essentially. They're all 500 meters long. The firing line's anything between 30 to 100 meters wide. And they're all just pretty much cut, you know, lanes within trees, essentially. So going to Price, Utah, where it's essentially like nearly, it was what, like 270 degrees of shooting. And it's just canyons and just crazy terrain everywhere. You know, wind can go so many different directions. You're shooting up, you're shooting down, like, and there's so many terrain features as well with all of these targets that haven't been painted and they're, you know, hard to find. Like, it was a massive, massive culture shock. It was bloody awesome, but yeah, it was a lot to take in for sure.
So you say right there, one of the things I'm you said painting the targets. Do they always paint the targets, you know, like there in Australia?
Yeah, well, I mean, start of the day, they're always freshly painted. So
that's something that always was, we used to do the same thing. And then finally somebody's like, hey, you know, the last guy doesn't have the target painted. So why should we paint him for the first guy? So,
well, I agree. It makes perfect sense.
Yeah, so now nobody paints targets. Now you'll get targets, and they'll never be painted one time, ever. They're just bare steel.
That's how it should be. Yeah, just bare steel. Don't even paint them to begin with.
I mean, obviously, guys will have personal targets, and there's certain match directors that still do, but pretty much in the West Coast, though, you're not going to see that. You're not going to have fresh paint. A lot of the East Coast still. And some of the central ones, there's still, it match directors vary, but it seems like out here, you're never going to see painted steel, which is, it sucks if you're, you know, first shooter, first of the day, like, you're like, man, I wish I had some painted steel right now, you know?
Yeah.
Sure. So what else? What are some differences that you saw?
Well,
have noticed, I guess. It doesn't have to be in Paul's match, but any of them.
Well, one of the first things that stuck out was we were shooting, obviously, off natural terrain and around natural terrain. So one of the stages, you had to shoot between these two trees, which is essentially like this little hallway. And you had to, it was prone, and you had to move your body and the rifle to be able to see the targets. And if you didn't sort of, before you shot the stage, like stand, you know, 10, 15 meters behind, you know, and watch whoever's shooting and sort of line up and figure out how far you need to be left and right to see that target. Like, the guys who didn't do that, when they ran up and got down, like, they just timed out because they had no landmark. And they had no idea how far left they had to be or how far right they had to be to see targets. So, I mean, that kind of stuff, you know, you don't normally have to do that kind of stuff in Australia. So that was a big shock, not only shooting off natural terrain, but around it as well, and how that obviously changes things.
I got you. So not a lot of obstacles in your way over there.
But yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Which, I mean, it's pretty much just a man-made prop just sitting on concrete and just, oh, yep, cool, that's where the target is, sit down. Yeah, and it's just the majority of what you're doing is just shooting, whereas here it seems to be shooting's obviously a big part of it, but it's not, you know, 90 or 100% of what you're doing. It's more like, you know, like 60 or 70, you know what I mean?
Maybe at Paul's.
Well, yeah, there for sure.
Because I feel like you're probably not going to see a ton of loophole. We call those loophole stages where you have things you have to shoot between, or, you know what I mean, if that makes any sense. Like there's a little thinking of and strategy. If I that's what you're saying, correct?
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, we don't have a ton of those, but yes, there is. Paul likes to throw that in there, and just I mean, he likes to make you think, which is cool. I really like to be challenged, and he likes to do that. So, but yeah,
yeah, which was awesome because I mean, there was this one stage where we're shooting literally off the side of the cliff, and we were shooting down into the valley, and it was a supported 5 or 6 target troop line, but you had to pan nearly 180 degrees, and all the targets were really thin, so they were only like 0.2 mils wide, but they were, you know, at least 0.6 mils tall, and if you didn't think about it before you did it, they were all sort of just within distance from each other where you didn't have to dial for all of them. Mm-hmm. You could have just held and still hit them all. But if you did dial, you'd time out on it. So, yeah, it was just things like that. Like
he loves those.
How he makes you think. And it's the type of thing. The first time, if you don't think about these things, it'll screw you. But the second time, it won't because you'll have learnt.
Yeah.
And you won't make that mistake again, yeah.
I know. The only problem is, like, I remember he did something kind of like that one time. It was, like, some poppers, and, yeah. I was just lucky. I was just like, I remember I shot the first one, and I dialed for the second one. And then I went, this is stupid, and quit dialing. And then I think I got 11 out of 12 on that stage. That was my first time going through it. And I was like, this is it's a little different stage, but similar kind of philosophy where it's a big pan and a bunch of different targets. They were tall, but definitely not wide. And if you could time out unless you just didn't overthink it. And it's easy to overthink. So, yeah, Paul's one of them guys where he likes to make you think. So I really like a lot of his matches, but it's definitely, I can see how that could be, especially if that's your first match in the States.
Yeah.
There could be a little shell shock, just like, holy crap.
Yeah, there was. But yeah, definitely every match he puts on from now on, I'm definitely going to. Like, yeah, I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. He makes you think more than the average match director. So what's similar, I guess? What are some of the similarities? Maybe we should just kind of go there.
Well, it's the same sport, but it doesn't feel like the same sport when you're doing it. I mean, it doesn't. Like, it's the same, but it's different. Like, obviously, the shooting element's the same. Shooting. A well-balanced rifle is a well-balanced rifle, and, you know, all of those skills carry over, but everything else is different. The target, you know, the range of targets, the different types of targets you shoot is different. The distances you shoot are different. You know, Australia, you only ever shoot out to 500 meters. Most of your targets are going to be between 300 to 450, which isn't very far. Whereas all of the matches I've shot here, the average distance seems to be about, I don't know, 450 to 6. So yeah, it's same, but it's different. You know, the rifles look the same, but they're different. You know, I'd say everything's more or less different.
So the question is, and this is one that I know everyone, I shouldn't speak in too broad of generalities, but a lot of people like in their mind, whether they want to admit it or not, they think, like, we could go over there and freaking beat those boys. You know, I don't know if you agree, but I do feel like a ton of people are just like, I can take the Americans, stupid Americans.
Well,
do you think they could? Now you've been around a little bit.
The Americans are better. Like, yeah, the level of shooter here is a lot higher than it is in Australia.
Really?
It's more so people are just a lot more comfortable at shooting out to distance.
Okay. Because I've been
Like
around some
it's
a couple of, like I shot with Tristan. He shot good.
yeah, I mean, Australian shooters are quite good. I think we're some of the best in the world for sure. I think we can definitely hang with you guys, but I just don't think we have the same experience or on the same level as you guys quite yet.
Yeah.
I think if an Australian, like one of the top Australian guys, was going to come over to the US, they would have to come here, shoot a couple of matches, sort of digest it, sort of adapt to it, because you're not going to come over here and just win. You got to shoot a few, sort of learn, make some mistakes, and then once you've sort of actually processed it and done something with that, learned from it, practiced a few things, changed your game a bit, then you can start competing and legitimately trying to win. But yeah, I don't see anyone just coming over here and just winning automatically. I don't think that's going to happen.
I mean, be pretty hard. I think, but I do think that guys from over here could go over there and obviously do it. Because, and that comes down to, in my mind, the fact that we're very comfortable already shooting that standard, like the purest skill stage type of stage, right? The four positions, two shots each, 90 seconds, go. You know, you got one target. Beep, you know, that's what we did. That's type of stage, you know, 5 years ago. Yeah, you might miss a shot every now and again on it, you know. That might be it. Now it's 100% time. Like, you just don't miss shots on it. Every now and again you're gonna miss a shot on it. But like, you're probably not going to. And so I don't know. Those types of stages now are basically throwaway stages over here. Well, what we call throwaway stages, meaning if that stage was thrown out of the match, it would not change the outcome of the match at all, because say, you know, it of the top 30, everyone cleaned it, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it doesn't change the outcome. You
And I
know.
mean, that's the kind of stages that we excel at, because that's, unfortunately, that's pretty much all we do, that type of stage. Whereas you guys, at least in the West Coast, from what I've seen, you guys seem to have moved on from that, and your stages and matches are a lot more elaborate, which is cool. It's advancing and becoming more complex.
Yeah, and I feel like still we need to figure out how to make it harder.
For sure.
Because, like, even, well, I'll explain it. A mat or a stage that me and you shot, like, last weekend, right? We're shooting it at the Blue Ridge match, or the Blue Creek match, I mean. And the Blue Creek match, there's a PRS barricade. Right, and then in the middle of the top of the PRS barricade, there's two prongs sticking up to signify right and left side of the barricade, and in between there's another little flat spot to shoot. Right, so you this stage, they kind of did a twist on the PRS barricade stage where you shoot two rounds from the kneeling, two rounds from standing, and then move to the middle in between the two prongs. And then shoot two rounds there, and then move to the other side of the barricade, two rounds from there, and then two rounds from the other side, kneeling. So it's a total of six rounds standing, four rounds kneeling. And the other twist is it at 400 yards, there's a 10-inch round and a 6-inch round. So
That's it.
it was, you know, a 0.4 target and a 0.7 target, you know, in mils if you measured that. So, and then you shot hit or miss, big, small, every time on that thing, and that's 10 rounds. Where that, I mean, that definitely makes the PRS skill stage tougher, right?
Yeah,
But
absolutely.
I still like, if it's a stage, you're putting it in not as a skill stage, but as a stage. In a match, it's still a little easy. Would you agree?
Absolutely, because I mean, all of those stages were like 2 minutes, weren't they?
Yeah.
So I mean,
But even 90 seconds, that's easy.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
But, so, I mean, if they were all on the little one, that's a sporty stage.
Yep.
You know, I mean, I don't know. There's just ways to make them a little tougher. But that's how the way we have to think over here, because everybody, you know, like, almost, I mean, the average score in that is probably an 8, right?
Yeah.
And that's a little high, I think, for especially even for a local match. I think average of six is probably something to shoot for.
Yeah, strive for a lower hit percentage. Yeah, of course.
Well, I mean, just average out of everybody that shoots at it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so your top guys are still going to clean it or get a 9, and your bottom guys are still not going to get a 0. They're going to be somewhere, you know, they're gonna do all right. You're definitely gonna have people on both sides of the spectrum, right?
Yeah, of course.
Anyways, that's a mute point. But let's back to differences and stuff. You talked about the rifles. What do you see different in that?
I've noticed that the equipment guys are using is pretty similar. You guys obviously have a bit more exotic gear than we do, because it's obviously easier to get.
Yep.
But I'd say rifle weight seems to trend a little bit heavier, but not much, maybe by 2 pounds. But other than that, I'd say you guys all seem to be running 6 dashes, whereas Australians seem to all be running BRs and BRAs and stuff.
That's probably just because of Lapua versus
Alpha.
Alpha now being right there in Salt Lake, it's so easy just to run a dasher.
Yeah, well, I mean,
There used to be more variety, I feel like, until Alpha started building dasher brass, and then all the variety went away.
Yeah, because, I mean, getting Alpha brass in Australia is crazy. I think it took a year for me to get my 6 GT brass.
Whoa.
Now
it's like just like they're your neighbors, dude.
Well, yeah, I can just drive over and say what's up. Yeah, so that's pretty cool.
Have you been to their place?
Not yet.
It's cool. It's cool. But yeah,
But yeah, I mean, everyone here seems to be shooting the same speed as us. You know, like a 109, a 110 at about 2,800 feet per second. It's just, they're shooting a dasher. But the other thing that I've noticed as well, everyone I talk to here pretty much doesn't do load development, which is really cool, and that's something I really want to explore at some point. Because, I mean, as far as I'm aware, everyone in Australia still does some load development. So, yeah, whereas everyone here, from what I can tell, they seem to load, I think it was 2.4 inches overall length and like 30.5 grains of varget, and they pretty much just run that in all their barrels.
32,
and just shoot.
Probably.
Yeah, I can't remember what it was, but it was cool. Like, it's definitely something I want to try.
Yeah, no, it, I don't know. I feel like I might have a little hand in that. Maybe not so much. I feel like a lot of people were leaning that direction, and I definitely was. It's just so easy, you know? Like, the dashers already do the job, so may as well just let them do it, you know? Don't try to... I tried for years to, like, make a load shoot better or something, and they just... Every one of them, this all shot, you know? So what does it matter? I'm like, frick, shoot them. Plus, I also have my beef with load development.
Yeah, well, I mean, if it's easier, why not? And every single person's rifle I've shot, I mean, they hammer, so it's pretty hard to argue with that. So, yeah, it's cool, and it's definitely something I need to play with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You also mentioned some stuff about the Kestrel. You talked about how, like, you said something about it. What was it?
Yeah, so back in Australia, I didn't run a Kestrel. I never did. the day before a match, I would pretty much just watermark 500 meters with a couple of rounds, just put that into my phone, and I would just run my dope off that all weekend. And it was pretty much within a tenth of what I was running at the match before that and the match before that. Like, I didn't really ever have to pay much attention to that, and I was good. Whereas here, every single match, I've had dope issues because, yeah, we're shooting much further distances. The temperature in the morning when we've been shooting is like 8 degrees in the morning, and then by the, you know, end of the day, it's like 45, 50 degrees. Like, it's, yeah, big changes. And I just think, yeah, you definitely need to have a Kestrel, have it set up properly and have your dope squared away. Whereas back in Australia, it wasn't really a big deal. But here, at least, I'm assuming the reason I'm having dope issues is because of that. So I think I need to learn how to use a Kestrel and, yeah, make a point to get that squared away before I expect to not have those issues.
Yeah, they're not the most intuitive tool to use, but once you learn them, they're not too bad. I ran a phone for quite a while, and I don't think there's anything wrong with running a phone. And it kind of is what it is. You have to pay attention, you know. But that's with everything. I think maybe due to the range, I know if you're only shooting within 500 meters, so say 550 yards essentially, you really can run your data from sea level or 10,000 foot, 20 degrees or 150 degrees. It doesn't really matter almost.
Yeah, it's not going to make a huge difference.
No, I mean, you can run that, and I think between 0 and 10,000 foot elevation, I'm pretty sure it's only a tenth at that distance. So, like, what does it matter, you know what I mean?
But then once you start getting out these longer ranges, I think definitely, yeah.
Literally, that is the distance that all of a sudden starts to change, like, exponentially.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, 600 yards, I think, is where I always figured you don't have to worry about atmospherics if you're hunting, because I was always figured it was within a tenth. But then past that, you really need to, like, it makes quite a bit of difference at 800 to 1,000 versus at 600 yards, which that just is what it is. For some reason, that's where stuff starts to change. So, and so I can see how if you shot 500 meters and in, that all of a sudden you come to a place where, you know, it matters to have your weather updated every so often, and then, you know, kind of be on top of your speed, because when you start shooting past that 400 or 500 yard mark, all of a sudden, you know, you're 2/10 off on a 4/10 plate. Boom, that's missing, you know.
Absolutely, yeah.
So you kind of you gotta be on top of that, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's just all these small little things that I need to put emphasis on, whereas I didn't have to before. But, yeah, it's all good.
So kind of just a little bit more. So same sport, same rifles, maybe just a little heavier.
Yeah.
But a little bit more technical shooting.
Yeah. And I think just the stages and just running a stage and just the things that you need to process during a stage, there's just more things that are going on.
Okay.
That require your attention. I mean, the shooting element's obviously the same. It's just,
yeah, still you got to pull the trigger, you know. But
yeah,
all of a sudden it's longer. I would say, I would give anybody advice, I guess, just some unsolicited advice here. But that's coming over here and, like, worried about shooting for the first time past 500 meters or whatever, I wouldn't worry too much about it, because you actually forget that it's that far. Especially, it's funny when you start shooting out to, you shoot a couple stages that are, like, say, out to 1,000, 1,100, and all of a sudden you come to a stage that says 650, and you're like, oh, yeah, close, we're good.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's like not a, it's not a big deal. It's not as big a deal as you think, as long as, like we're talking about, you got the right, you got the right velocity, you got the right BC, so everything's trued up, everything's good to go before you start, and then your weather's up to date, you're going to be on.
Yeah, no, that's exactly it, and that's the thing that I think is definitely different and why people are so much more comfortable doing it here, because they're aware of those things, whereas if people came over from Australia, whereas they haven't done that, like I've had those issues, it would be more of a culture shock that shooting those longer ranges, just because they probably don't have the same emphasis on having their dope squared away in the same ways that guys are aware of the importance of it here. You know, and yeah, that's not saying that I didn't shoot long range back at home. I had 1,000 meter range in my backyard, but I knew the distances because I doped them out and it was always the same. So it wasn't a big deal.
Yeah.
But, you know, obviously don't have my gun here and all that kind of stuff. So it's different.
Nope. I got you there for sure.
Yeah.
It's just, it's something to get used to.
Yeah.
That's cool. No, I think it's interesting. It's just cool to see the similarities and the differences between the same, like how a sport, because here I can see visually, I've gone enough and I've seen enough that like there are changes. It's on there almost like accents or dialects of the sport, just within our country, right? Like it is different, yeah, in different places, but then to see it and to hear about it from Australian, like coming over here and saying, oh yeah, no, the sport here's way different, or not or way different, but it's just different, versus what we have over here. We have a different dialect of it and how that is. And it's just interesting to see that. And I'm sure, almost every country has that, you know, you have little nuances within your country, but then also you have your own little brand of the same sport that we all play, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And from my sort of knowledge of talking to other people from other countries, from what I've heard, I'd say probably New Zealand probably seems like the closest to American matches in terms of like the terrain and the target distances and that kind of thing.
Serious.
Which is cool. And you probably wouldn't expect that. And I probably wouldn't have expected that a couple, you know, like 6 months ago either. But
it kind of makes sense, right? Because they can use the guns a little bit more liberally over there, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I didn't know any of that stuff until Anthony Colley, who's New Zealand's number one shooter, he came over to Australia and started shooting the Australian PRS matches because he was skull-dragging everyone in New Zealand. He's like, I'm the best, and I want a new challenge. I want to come and see how I stack up against the Aussies. And he came over, and we flogged him one time, and he told us all about New Zealand. Then he came back with a vengeance, and he won the Aussie PRS finale. So, yeah, he's
that kind of guy.
He's an absolute stud, and I love that guy. But, yeah, from what I can see and what he's shown me, they seem to be pretty similar.
That's awesome. It'd be cool. I really want to go shoot some matches in some other countries. It's just kind of hard with my schedule right now, but man, that would be awesome. So
yeah, well, one that's on my radar is it's called the Viking Trail.
Trust me, it's all over my radar too.
You've seen it? Yeah, I'm definitely going to that in May.
You are? Son of a gun. Tell Runar hi.
I will. Well, I'm going to see him at SHOT Show too. He owes me a few beers. So, yeah. Hopefully next year I can take you then.
Oh, we'll love them guys.
We'll make a without warning company thing out of it.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Yeah, they're great guys. They were trying to get me to go over there. I just can't make it work this year, especially that time of year. It's tough.
Just with the vet school.
Mm-hmm. Because they wanted me to go over there, do like a little couple day class and then shoot the match and then come back, and it would have been awesome, but I really want to do that. So maybe after I graduate or something for like a vacation. So like then the May after, May 2024, maybe. Because that sounds like, dude, I want to go to Norway so bad.
Yeah, well, I mean, the shooting over there seems really cool. And I just loved how, I can't remember what they called it, but they do one stage every day out of the 3 days at the Viking Trail. It's like a course that you need to run through. It's like a
5 minute a hike, stage hiking or
trail.
Like that.
Yeah. It's like a hiking trail, and you got to like stop off at certain props on the way and do shooting. And that just looked epic. So,
yeah. No, that looks cool. Awesome. Yep, I want to shoot that one pretty bad. So, so the other thing we need to kind of talk about is you and I tried to do a giveaway about 4 months ago, maybe 5 months ago, and we did not get that done, like, at all. And I feel bad because we dropped the ball, but we need to pick that back up. But your social media just got deleted, so I feel like we're kind of just dropped the ball on you guys completely. So we want to redo that. Is that right?
Yeah.
Should we just start over from square one? Just let's do it.
Yeah, we'll start over from square one. Just jump on Instagram without warning, Corp, CORP, and I'll put up a post and like it, follow, share, subscribe, all that.
So basically, out of all your, because you're getting new followers, we're just going to pick someone out of your new followers?
Yeah, that's the easiest way.
I think that's the easiest way. Randomly pick someone out of your followers. I think that's going to be the best way to do it. So follow, like, his page, go to it, and share it with your friends. Maybe do a share too, huh?
Yeah, do a share. And we'll up to Andy to say sorry for dropping the ball, and we'll give away a gold on.
All right.
Yeah. So,
which, if you guys haven't seen those things, they're good looking. And the way he does he's changed the design a little bit since then. So I feel like you're getting an even better break now. Those breaks they have inserts and all kinds of stuff. So they're pretty dang legit. They're about as efficient as a break can be.
Yeah, well, I mean, I did a video yesterday and put it up on YouTube. Like, I actually went into the 3D model and cutting in half and showed people what it actually looks like. And I did some flow simulations and sort of just showed them how the gas actually acts inside it and compared it to other ones. I thought that was pretty cool and interesting. So check that out as well. I think people, if they're interested in it, will like that.
Yeah. People ask me all the time about it, and I'm like, dude, the brakes just freaking work, man. Just that's just what happens. The recoil is less than, and it's noticeably less than other brakes.
Yeah.
So, you obviously can explain why. I can just tell you that it does what it's supposed to do.
Yeah, if people have questions or they want to know how and why, just jump on that YouTube video. It's like 16 minutes long of me talking exactly how it works and why it works. And if you don't fall asleep, you'll know everything there is about it. So.
That's the key thing. It's not falling asleep. Trust me. That's how I am with sometimes these, my episodes, is I'm like, man, I don't know how people stay awake. So I understand. But no, I appreciate you coming on, and let's try to get your followers back, because that sucks.
Yeah, it was a bit rough, but when are we going to be shooting next? What match are you going to be shooting?
Man, like, I want to go to this. I still got to figure out we have a meeting, because basically my February is all locked down. So I have a meeting the end of this month. And if that meeting's not required to go to, then hopefully we'll be going to the match in Texas the end of this month. So in 2 weeks. And if not, then it'll be the Snake River Outdoorsman match, I think is what it is, or something like that. I just talked about it, and I can't remember the name of it. But anyways, it's the snake, whatever that the match in that March, Idaho? The Idaho match in March.
Yeah, yeah, cool. I'm kind of that one.
That's gonna be a good one. So
yeah, nice.
I think the prize table is gonna be pretty freaking bomb. So if you're not signed up for that one, that's one to sign up for, because that's they haven't had a lot of signups yet, but it's like I'm telling you, that's it's gonna be a pretty freaking epic match. I know that.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Yeah, I'll definitely go to that one. I'm just excited to have my gun built and be able to shoot my own gun and yeah, comfortable behind it.
Yeah, that will be nice. Get it broke in.
Yeah.
How many rounds are you going to put on it before you go?
I'll probably be able to put a couple of hundred on it by then.
Oh, good. Because I was going to say,
Garrett should have my gun built within about a week, I'd say. So there's plenty of time.
Yep, that should be plenty of time. Yeah, get a couple hundred on that, and then you'll be good to go.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be fun.
What about you? Is that your next one?
I was supposed to do the Manti match, but it's the day after SHOT Show, and I just don't think I want to complicate things too much, because, I mean, you heard what happened last time. I was coming back from Vegas, and I complicated things, and I lost my Z-Comp scope in the parking lot, so let's not do that. I think I might give that one a miss.
No, I got you.
Yeah. Because, I don't want to borrow someone's gun and then, I'll just keep it simple. Nope. I'll just go to the next one after that.
May as well. It doesn't hurt to do that. Just take a week off, take a little breather.
Yeah.
You've been on a binge of shooting.
Yeah, I have.
Which is not.
Oh, it's been awesome, though.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, because, I mean, in Australia, we would have one match in our state every month, and it was at the same place every time.
So have you done a year's worth of shooting, essentially?
Yeah, I did last season.
Well, no, I mean saying, like, since you've been here, have you done a full year's worth of shooting?
Well, I've done quite a bit. I mean,
almost an Australian year's worth of shooting.
Yeah, nearly.
I mean, just without, no 2 days yet, right?
No 2 days yet.
All right. Well, the 2 day matches are even better.
Yeah. Well,
I think you'll definitely want your own gun and you'll want it broke in, but I feel like you'll be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah. I definitely will be asking you a few questions on the tips and tricks with the Kestrel.
Yeah, I can give you a whole rundown on that because
yeah,
it might take some time, but I feel like you'll catch on.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I'll probably rock up at Brady's house at some point and be asking him a whole bunch of questions, all confused, but yeah, I'll figure it out.
Nah, Brady can steer you right. He knows how to do it. He knows how to use them good. So we're right on. Okay, well, I appreciate you coming on.
Oh, good. Good to chat.
It is good. Good. And we'll, I guess I'll have you do a post on exactly what to do with the giveaway, but I'll make sure that I talk about it in the next episode as well. Just kind of lead up to it. So.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds good.
Right on. Well, thanks for coming on, and, thanks for listening, everybody. And like I say, look out for that post on the giveaway, and we'll try to get you a golden break. So, yeah.
Hell yeah.
Okay. Thanks for listening. Talk to you later.
See ya.